George Michael and Faith here on the afternoon show. Now, the game of rugby has been a key factor in soldier Nick Jones's life. He reckons the game not only helped him overcome injury that could have jeopardised a military career for him, but he also credits it with showing him how discipline and team spirit can be recognised and developed amongst players. Nick's from Wheatley and he shares his love of his sport with his son and daughter, both now in their 20s, but more recently he's shared it with children further afield, because Nick has just got back from Ghana, where he's been introducing children to the sport through an organisation called Projects Abroad, which has been inspirational for both parties concerned, it would seem. He joins me this afternoon to talk a little bit about the role the sport has played in his life and what the last month in Ghana has involved for both himself and the children he was working with. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thank you, Jo.
So just back from Ghana, pretty recently actually, we've grabbed you after we've allowed you to unpack and brought you into the studio.
Absolutely, just about unpacked. I think I found a toothbrush, so hopefully that helps.
What was the experience like? Give us a quick overview.
Oh, it was awesome on so many different levels. Everyday smiles on children's faces, meeting different people, helping to take the sport to the next level in Ghana. And becoming, I guess, part, I was there a short time, just a month, but becoming part of the community, I sort of epitomise it that when I arrived, people were slightly wary. I was living in a place called Abra, which is a sort of ghetto, which 5 years ago was sort of fairly low aspirational and fairly high crime rate. But a lot of good people have done a lot of good work in the meantime, and people have aspirations now. But they're still a bit wary of foreigners there. So when I arrived, it was sort of a bit of a surly look and hey, a Bruni, which is the fanti for foreigner. But by the time I was leaving, people were sort of coming up and saying, hi, coach, a smile on the face. So I think to become part of the community and people know that you're there to help the community and take it forward was a very rewarding part of the trip.
Because there are numerous volunteer projects that are helping communities around the world as we speak. Every day people are going out and doing fantastic work. But using rugby as the key to this development is something that I hadn't necessarily heard of before. What was the role you were playing?
Well, you're right. The reason I chose Projects Abroad was because of the link with rugby. I'd always wanted to do some sort of voluntary work overseas. And when I saw the opportunity to work in an orphanage, which I was doing in the mornings, and also work with rugby, that really hit the button for me. Rugby is a sport that's in its infancy in Ghana. There's a great guy there, George Lapidou, who's been doing some work voluntary unpaid himself for about 5 years to get it off the ground. And he linked up with Projects Abroad a couple of years ago and said, hey, if you've got volunteers who are a bit sporty, they can help me. So it was quite novel, and that was really the reason I chose Projects Abroad and chose Ghana, because it was an opportunity to do something that I felt I had some skills that could help take it forward.
When had you started playing the sport and how had you been introduced to it?
Well, I started playing the sport about 35 years ago. I first got into it when I was 15. I had a pretty horrendous motorbike crash and I nearly lost my right arm. And it left me with a disability in my right arm as a result. At that time, I'd been selected to join the army, but clearly with having an arm that didn't quite work right, there was a bit of a question mark of my ability to go through training. At that time, I took up rugby. I saw it as a sport that A, would give me some physical attributes, but B, there were other attributes, other life skills that came out of rugby from it. Particularly in rugby, discipline is key, team spirit is key, and a high level of commitment. So I found after playing rugby for a year or two, I was able to go through army training, and both the physical and the sort of life skill elements that rugby gave me helped me sail through army training to the extent that with sort of, I say at 1.5 arms, I managed to win the physical training prize in my intake at Sandhurst. So when it came to the medical board at the end and they said, well, it's a question of whether you can join the army or not, I said, well, okay, sack me, sack the other 198 guys. And so it sort of worked for me. So it's sort of 15 is where I started playing rugby, and it's been with me for life since, really.
And you played throughout your army career, even though you suffered injuries which can be expected in the sport?
For sure, yeah, I did. In my early 20s, I had a fairly sort of serious leg break through playing rugby. And I was sort of gutted when I came around from the anaesthetic that the surgeon said that I may never walk again. So I tried to prove him wrong at that instant, tried to get out of bed and run down the corridor with the inevitable result that I fell flat on my face. But I was able to run 20 miles about 3 months later and able to go back to my surgeon and said, hey, I can walk, I can run, I can play rugby. So I think, again, the motivation that rugby gets you, you get a lot of setbacks in rugby. You get knocked back physically, you get knocked back emotionally, and you just got to literally physically and mentally pick yourself up off the floor. So again, it's one of those things that the game gives you, is to just, you know, if somebody says you can't do something, that's the greatest motivator there is. You know, if somebody says you can't do it, you just go out and do it.
Did the army get in the way of your rugby at all?
No, it didn't. In those days,
they managed to thrive alongside each other.
Yeah, in those days we were, unlike now, where life is very hectic with the operations abroad. We didn't have so many operations abroad, and I was very lucky in that first period with the army that we had a lot of time for sport, a lot of time for adventure training. So my commanding officer was very pleased for me to take the rugby team away and have time to train and play. So it was great.
You mentioned your first time in the army because you've actually spent two periods serving, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I served for the first time for about 12 years. And then when the children were younger, they were aged about 4 and 2, I decided to sort of change careers to give them a bit of stability. So I went into the business world for the best part of 20 years, living here in Oxford and working in the software industry. But once the kids were grown up, I decided that, and if this doesn't sound too sort of wary, and I'm not, but I'd missed operations the first time round. And I always felt that sort of having trained to go on operations and not done it, it's a bit like a rugby player who's been trained all the time and sits on the bench and never gets on the field. So once the kids were a little older and they're away or having just sort of finished university now, I felt that I could rejoin the army, do something a little bit riskier. And if, you know, God forbid something untoward would happen, the kids were grown up and fine. So I rejoined the army 3 years ago. My ticket to getting back in was language. At the age of 50, you don't have a lot of utility out on operations necessarily, but the army said to me, if you can learn a language, we'll have you. So I learned Arabic and rejoined the army as an Arabic interpreter, which is my ticket back in and my ticket to Iraq and Afghanistan.
And in fact, it was tours of Iraq and Afghanistan which helped you make the decision to sort of enter the voluntary sector as well, which we'll talk a little bit more about in just a moment or two, and find out more about your time in Ghana and a little bit more of the detail of the children you are working with and what you've brought back from the experience. Nick Jones, my guest this afternoon here on BBC Oxford. We'll hear more of his story in just a moment, but the latest on the roads first with Gemma.